let me give you the context in which this text comes, because without the context it's very difficult to understand it. We are here in the story of Puranjana, who represents the living entity. Puranjana story is a metaphor, and when one hears it, one deducts different teachings for one's own life. And Puranjana story goes, I will not explain the whole story here, but this particular section. Puranjana all of a sudden finds himself a very violent nature. So he runs out into the forest and begins to kill many, many animals indiscriminately. He shoots bears, lions, deers, hares, mules. He just creates a carnage. And as a result, he asked himself, what came over me? And he goes back to his house, his palace, where he usually meets his queen. Now the queen, that's very important in this metaphor, is the intelligence of the living entity. And when he looks for his queen, he can't find her. His queen has found out that he went to the forest and just brutally slaughtered the poor animals. That he became a victim to rage and anger, and was creating harm for others. So she goes into one very specific room of the palace. It's called the anger chamber, zu Deutsch gesagt, die Kammer des Zornes. And she takes off her crown, she takes off her jewels, throws herself on the ground, and is just angry on her foolish husband. Anger creates more anger. So Puranjana comes home trying to find out, where is my queen? And all the maidservants tell her, she is in the chamber of anger. So beautiful about emotions, isn't it? So he goes to the queen, and at this time another emotion gets set free, which we will hear about now. The king, you know, had understood, I have lost my intelligence, she has gone somewhere and is angry at me that I was such a fool to kill so many innocent animals. So the king, with a grieved mind, began to speak to his wife with very pleasing words. King addresses his intelligence. Although he was filled with regret, bedauern, and tried to pacify her, he could not see any symptom of anger caused by love within the heart of his beloved wife. The king very much regretted having left his queen and having gone to the forest to execute sinful activities. He felt so sorry. When a person regrets his sinful activities, the abandoning of Krishna consciousness and good intelligence, his path of deliverance from the path of material clutches is opened. Have you heard this? When you regret sinful activities and that you have given up Krishna consciousness, a path of liberation opens before your very eyes. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5:5:5, Parabhavastavat abodha jata yavanna yigyasata atmatatvam. When a person loses his Krishna consciousness and loses interest in self-realization, he must engage in sinful activities. All one's activities in life devoid of Krishna consciousness simply lead to defeat and misuse of one's life. Naturally, one who comes to Krishna consciousness regrets his previous sinful activities in the human form. Only by this process can one be delivered from the clutches of nations or ignorance and materialistic life. So here we meet a very useful emotion for elevation in spiritual life. It is regret. We find this also in the life of Ajamil. Regretted his past life. He had become a mafioso in Vedic times and had really robbed and killed many people, and then on his deathbed he had a transformative experience. He was calling out the name of his son Narayan, which was the name of God. And because he called out the name of God, Narayan, at the time of his greatest defeat, his death, something wonderful happened. The servants of God appeared to save him from the terrible messengers of Yamaraj. And then, after Ajamil had been saved by the terrible, by the messengers of God from these terrible monsters, really, the Yamadutas, he had a change in mind. He had a turn, and it's interesting, his turn of mind or his change in mind was a sincere regret. He said, what have I done? I have become totally dependent on illusion. In fact, I was a dancing dog in the hands of the illusory energy, in the hands of Maya. Oh, alas, alas. And this regret, you know, this feeling sorry, this emotion was giving him an impetus to just change his life. He was already above 80. He was extremely lusty in this age. You know, it didn't stop for some reason. He just noticed, I'm ruining my life. I'm just, in order to maintain my material life, I have become a killer, really, a dangerous dacoit. And he felt so sorry. And this regret really gave him an impetus to change his life totally. He went to Haridwar after this transformative experience and engaged in service of the deities. And he became a priest. The regret is a powerful door opener to a new way of life. In fact, it has been stated in our scriptures that regret, which goes together with repentance, the feeling of sorry for one's activities, can be so powerful that it melts the false ego of I'm a very good man, I'm a very good controller and enjoyer of this world, and can also the fire of regret, or the power of regret, is such a strong emotion that it can burn away your karma, which is yet to come. It's amazing, isn't it? Why? See, if you really have this strong emotion of regret, if you have access to this, then you will not perform any, materialistic activities or foolish activities any longer. And it's not necessary for you to have a karmic reaction for these activities. You burn your karma. You don't need to learn in the school of in the school of hard knocks any longer. The karma knocks. Pang, pang, pang. You just have been totally taken out of your old life and started a new life. There's a song that goes like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that savest a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. The last line, I don't know. It's amazing. It was composed by a previous slave owner. A slave hunter. It was an Englishman who went to Africa, captured slaves, and sold them on the free market. Now, once he had a whole boat of these poor, unfortunate family men whom he had taken away from their families and drove them into a terrible future on this boat. A storm was coming, and flashes were almost like the ones with which Nityananda Prahlad and myself witnessed yesterday. Really intense, but it was on the ocean, and the sail went off. The boat got leak, and the boat was really drowning with all the slaves and the captain, this impossible monster of a man. And he became very worried for his life, and he kneeled down. He could understand God was punishing him for his bad activities. You know, this is how he translated the sound of the flashes and the sound of thunder. He thought this is an angry voice of God who punished him, and said, I really regret my old ways. I'm really sorry for what I did. And if you please get me out of here, I will correct my old ways. I will become a friend of all. And he became, the story goes, he tells the story, the storm calmed down, and he somehow mysteriously escaped drowning and came back to totally shipwrecked back to, I don't know, he was somehow saved. I don't know if someone found him and so on. And then he really became a very religious person and sang this beautiful song, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Amazing grace. I can only sing Hare Krishna. How sweet the song, which has really motivated over the centuries many people to lead a more spiritually oriented life. It has become the anthem, as the hymn, the hymn of some parts of the New Age movement. It was first sung by John Bates, American folk singer, and spread like anything you sometimes hear in rainbow festivals other occasions where people who are God conscious meet together and so on. The regret is something which is very powerful, so powerful that it can totally change your old ways. It's an emotion which is extremely useful. Another useful emotion, I will slowly approach the, soon we will come to the intense things, is something which I, which I heard just a little while ago from a good friend of mine. It's a very intense emotion while you chant. You chant and chant and chant, and at first it is a nice thing. Ganga Mayi, please give us your full attention. It's a nice experience. You can be concentrated, but then comes a time where you feel you go like a desert. You go like through a desert. It is very hard, and it is very difficult. At that time, most of the Hare Krishnas do something else than chanting. They just run away. This is a typical symptom for a neophyte in spiritual life. Now, but some of the devotees know, now we get to the serious experience in spiritual life, and they know, okay, now it's very important to continue. So, then they you continue, and after some time you reach a different part of the desert of spiritual emotions. First, you had an emotion, let us call it an emotion of dryness, but now you feel an emotion of desperation. Lord, I cannot reach my Lord. I'm so disqualified. I'm sitting here. The Lord has appeared to give His holy name to unfortunate souls like me, but I am not worthy of His gift. I'm not. And you begin to feel something very interesting. From the desperation which you feel, I'm not qualified for Krishna consciousness, your emotions will turn into a profound grief. Grief is kuma. Kuma. I have lost my Lord. And you will sing songs like Buliya Tumara Samsara Maria. It means, my Lord, I have turned my face actually away from you. And as a result, I became a prisoner in the prison of Maya. You feel this. And you feel it's not nice to be a prisoner of Maya. You feel grief. It's an emotion which does come to your help. At one time, you will this grief which you feel for having turned away from Krishna and now having no taste in spiritual life, this grief can at times become so strong that the tears come out of your heart and then out of your eyes, and it is described in spiritual psychology. These tears are very important. These tears will of intense grief. What have I done? What have I done? These tears wash away the dirt of pride from your eyes. These are very good tears. These are like golden waterfalls, these tears which come from the heart and then from the eyes, and they are very good emotions. It is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once said, chanting means with tears in the eyes. It's an intense emotional experience. This is what I want to say. These are some useful emotions. I think I have more useful emotions. A very useful emotion is also a humble acceptance. In spiritual life, this is like this: when a person feels he's punished by the laws of nature, he should not be disturbed. A real devotee thinks, when he's put in an awkward position, it's the mercy of the Lord. He's not in the protest mood. Why me? Why me? In German language, we always say, "Warum denn ich?" I remember there are even poems, "Immer ich und nie die anderen." Oh, it's always I who suffer and never the others. This is a German poet. "Immer ich und nie die anderen." At least I think so. So, in spiritual life, you actually begin to understand, I was a great sinner. And as a consequence, I'm getting now some little reaction. But the Lord is giving this reaction only to kindly correct me. I deserve much, much more. And the Lord is punishing me very mildly, just to wake me up. This is a very helpful spiritual emotion. I just received a letter on the internet where one devotee just opened her heart to me. She had been with five other devotees in a car in Croatia when one other car drove with 140 kilometers an hour into the car. Immediately one devotee died, 2 months old baby. That was the youngest devotee in the car. And all of the other inmates in the car lost their consciousness. They had broken bones, and when the doctors in the hospital saw them, they could almost not operate. You must understand, Croatians are much more emotional than we. Much more. They have much better emotions, I feel. But much there's somehow. This is southern areas of Europe, Italy also. And so on. So they almost couldn't do their surgical performance. They were crying. This baby has died. You know, 2 months old little baby. You know, so sweet, and all. And then this devotee wrote to me. I was really, really amazed. Normally you would expect, why did this happen? They have broken, you know, very broken lips. Satyavati Sutta is performing Shila Puja only with one arm, you know, and his wife is ringing the bell with another arm, you know, husband and wife team. But the way they wrote me is they feel extremely blissful. Now normally you think, what is wrong? This is a very wrong feeling. You should feel very angry. You should leave the Hare Krishna practices because God didn't protect you. You should just be very bitter. But they feel blissful. They feel, we deserved much more. The way Jai Radhe wrote me is, Sachinandan Swami, we were saved by Krishna. Normally, this was our death, and the doctor said so. But they saved us. Krishna, this is a miracle of Krishna's mercy. Imagine this is a very useful spiritual feeling, emotion, to feel a humble acceptance of the reversals of life. And you will see, in half a year they will jump around the highest in kirtan, because they have this healing emotion. They are not bitter, but they feel it's the milast, it's the mercy of Krishna. It will take them half a year and they will be totally alright, because this humble acceptance is curing like anything. I was totally impressed. I had tears in my eyes and I thought, I wish I could be so Krishna conscious as Jairate and Satyavati Sutta, her husband, and some other Mataji was there. Madhava Priya, I do not know her, but you know it, my Priya Yamuna? No, no. So these are some. I want to quote something to you which I read, which I like very much. This emotion of acceptance, because very often in life we have feelings of victimization. These are harmful emotions for us. Krishna has not given anyone the authority to harm us. Even that person who drove with 150 or 140 kilometers an hour into the car, Krishna didn't send him to harm the devotees, because Krishna is not a cruel tyrant or so. Krishna has not given anyone the authority to harm us. If it appears that way, it is only superficial and misleading. That anyone can do harm to anyone else is misleading. It is only true on a superficial plane. Of course, this does not condone harming others or ignoring oppression. But from the absolute standpoint, there is no harm. When we reach the highest stage of devotion, we shall see that everything is friendly, and that our apprehension was our feeling like, was wrong. It was a misconception. Good. So these were some useful emotions. Let us summarize. We had regret, and we had also, please help me, humble acceptance. These are very good emotions, but unfortunately we don't only have good emotions. I mean, or I would not say good and bad here. These are favorable emotions. We have also sometimes emotions which are unfavorable for spiritual life. And my dear devotee, once again, I want to say, this is natural. This is not something to feel bad about or feel depressed about when you have an emotion. What is with the raw emotions like anger or envy, or just feelings of absolute hurt, and then thinking, revenge is sweet. You know, these are emotions which are there in us. The Bhagavad Gita talks about this, that it says it seems to be even natural for a man of knowledge or a woman of knowledge. This is from the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 33 and 34. Even a man, or let us say more general, even a person of knowledge acts according to his own nature. And I don't know the Sanskrit word, it may be svabhava here, that is the acquired nature. What? Svabhava. He acts according to his own nature. We have a certain nature which we have gotten from the birth. For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? Now, usually this verse is interpreted amongst those who are beginners in spiritual life. Okay, what good can a repression accomplish? Let go of the emotion. They are coming and going. this what Krishna has in mind. Let us continue to study the next verse and find out how he continues this. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion. By the way, these are the two main emotions in material life. I feel attached, and when I don't get what I want, I feel repulsed, aversion. I like to eat a pizza very, very much, but then I find out there are too many chilies, and I go, Or I like a person very much, and I feel totally, deadly attached. And then when I get in conflict with the person, I feel I can't see this guy any longer. And so on. So there are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. There are principles to deal with emotions. And the principles, to give a very, very, very one of the principles is direct, don't repress. I want to say it again, direct the emotions, don't repress. What you have to do is you have to strengthen the place where the emotions come from, that is the mind. One has to strengthen the mind by use of intelligence. This is Prabhupada is speaking about this now. If by intelligence one engages one's mind in Krishna consciousness by complete surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then automatically the mind becomes stronger, and even though the senses are still very strong, like serpents, they will be no more effective than serpents with broken fangs. I must tell you here that emotions are different from urges, like hunger, or the which is an urge of the stomach, the urge of the tongue, the urge of the genital. These are not emotions. These are just triebe. Emotions are something else. Emotions are not born from the tongue or the stomach or a genital. In other words, they are not born from a sense organ. They are born from the mind, which happens to be the king of the senses. And therefore, like senses, like the senses, sometimes the emotions must be directed. You know, we all know this. We do this every day when there is wonderful Ganga Mayi cakes. You know, we could eat a whole truckload of cakes. As far as I am concerned, I could easily eat. But I know it is not good because I would not be able to function any longer. When you eat a whole truckload of cake, it can be the most healthy Ayurvedic energy biodynamic cake. A truckload will kill you. So you need to control that urge in the stomach, which wants more, or the tongue. You know, the tongue has no problem of place, you know. The stomach has a problem of space, but the tongue has no space problem. Everything just goes loop over it. So still, you must control the tongue at times when there is, even when there is Ganga Mayi super dynamic egg-free biological Krishna Maha Mayapur Ganga cake. You know, you have to control the tongue. I think you all have practical experience of this effect. Some of you are getting some interesting forms of stomachs, by the way, which shows that maybe you have not been all this totally successful in this endeavor. So because emotions are born from the mind, just like the king of the senses, we have to also sometimes direct them to our advantage. Otherwise, the emotions, attachment and aversion, begin to control us, and that is not good. Krishna says these are stumbling blocks, in German, Hindernisse, on the path of self-realization. So the way this emotional direction is done is by the use of intelligence. And I would like to now give you this technique which you can apply. I'm very, very excited about this technique, because I have joined very, very early. I was a child, and a very temperamental child. And somehow, I feel, although I'm 50 years of age, I still have the childlike nature in myself. And when I'm in private, you won't believe what you see. It's a grown-up man who acts like a child sometimes, because we all have a child in us, and why not let it have its space and, you know, and let it do its activities. That's my own very personal situation, so I have to be careful of the child inside, and so on. Now, a little while ago, I learned of one previous Mayavadi. His name is Madhusudan Saraswati. He's a very interesting personality. Madhusudan Saraswati was a leader of the impersonalistic school. There is no God. Independent from us, and so on. And he had a, you know, the normal impersonalistic school that we are all part of the Brahman, which is God. In this way, we are all God ourselves. We have to realize it only by some spiritual practice, and then it is good. So he met, I believe it was Baladev Vidyabhushana, a disciple of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And from this meeting, he understood the rasa philosophy. Rasa means to taste the divine ecstasy, ecstatic rapture, it's called. And he was highly impressed by this, that there is a possibility. And he inquired further into the rasa and found out rasa is only possible if there are three entities: the taster, the object of taste, and the process of tasting, or the knower, the object of knowledge, and the process of knowing. And all this, rasa, the object of rasa, and the process of tasting rasa, is entirely spiritual, distinguished from material experiences. And he felt so much, intrigued by this new philosophy, that yes, there is Brahman, but in the there is a spiritual dimension, but in that spiritual dimension there is still an individual, there's God and there is an endless love being exchanged. And he was so entirely intrigued by this and fascinated, he just didn't know about this, that he also, he went to Vrindavan to make his own experiences in the kingdom of Krishna. Some of us believe in going to Vrindavan because we feel we get bhakti ras, the taste of bhakti. I hear our talented astrologer is also planning to go to Vrindavan. Why? To feel some bhakti ras in the heart, some the taste of bhakti increasing. That is very common amongst Vaishnavas. So he went also to Vrindavan, and he did all the practices which a Vaishnava does in Vrindavan, and he had a transformative experience. And after the experience, he wrote a wonderful book, which is unfortunately only available in Sanskrit. It's called the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas of Madhusudan Sarasvati. He wrote this amazing book. He was a jnani, in which he detailed the a process how to feel rasa, that means ecstatic emotions. This is all right. This is all right. Is ecstatic emotions and ecstatic taste. Wouldn't you? It must be a very interesting book. Now I have found one who translates it for me, but he has stopped, unfortunately. I only know the first five verses of this, but what I gained from the first verses is enough for me. There he says, our mind is like a candle, and Krishna, our meditation about Krishna, is like the light of the candle. So when the light comes into the candle cannot stay the same. You know, that's why when we have a candle, we always need a little plate, because we know otherwise what happens, that the wax is going all over and is making your table dirty. So we need something to capture the wax, because no candle can remain the same when a flame is there. In the same way, Madhusudan Saraswati says, if we put Krishna in our heart and our emotions, it can't remain the same. A transformative experience will be there. It's such a nice example. It's so easy to understand, but it really works. And the way it works is, whatever your emotion is, you direct it on Krishna. This process is given by Narottam Das Thakur in his Prarthana prayers, that I feel desperate, that I cannot reach my Krishna. My lusty emotions, I will put towards Krishna. I must have more and more Krishna in my life, and I must enter the, you know, lust is wants to fulfill itself by becoming one, you know, even in the physical sense. In sexual psychology, the lovers wish to become one in movement, one in mind, one in love. But unfortunately, it happens. Something like it happens on the physical plane for a short period. But in life, it is not possible. We always remain individuals with different ideas about life. Someone wants to go left, the other wants to go right, and it is not one. so when you have lust in your heart, you want to become you want to become, as Prabhupada says, one in interest with Krishna. You want to, I'm tired, I want to have an experience, a spiritual experience. I want to have love for Krishna. And I wish to be taken out of my situation of narrowness, of narrow-mindedness, of grief and desperation. I want to come in another realm of Krishna consciousness, and I want to dive into Krishna consciousness, isn't it? This is a loving. This is how it transformed lust. Actually, I want to move into, and I want to become one with a different consciousness, with a different atmosphere, in some sense. And Narottam Das Thakur gives, even when you feel anger, anger, you simply direct it. I remember in the world, when you feel angry, you go to a heavy metal concert and you go like with your hair, and it flies all over, and some of then the band has some kill. I want to kill everybody. Yes, right. And so angry, and then one leaves this concert or this, and after some time feels again just depressed and angry. It's better when you're angry to go in a kirtan and fix your mind on Krishna. And by the absorption in Krishna, even if you have a feeling, I am angry on the world, I'm angry on myself, I'm angry on my neighbor, I'm just going to Krishna now. when there's Krishna in your heart, then your emotions can't stay the same. It's just not possible. Let us say a normal man feels lusty. He sees a beautiful woman. He sees a woman walking before him, and he feels his lust is aroused. And he really feels like possessing that woman. So imagine at this moment the woman turns around and looks extremely ugly with leprosy and so on. His emotion would change. He would feel, good morning, or good evening. This is normal. Or let us give a positive example. A man is totally lusty. He sees a woman, he feels attracted. The woman turns around, it's his mother. Now, a normal person, I do not speak now about all these poor, unfortunate people who are mixed up, and everything went wrong. They have not visited the self-healing course and so on. But a normal person, when he sees the mother, goes like, "Ah, mother, I'm so happy to see you." This is a normal. I hope it's not an old-fashioned emotion, but an old-fashioned example. But I think this is the normal way. You have another concept in your mind, and your emotion changes. Maybe in modern times I have to use the first example, because everything, one is so deep. Anyways, I don't want to become angry now. This is what happens when you bring your mind to Krishna. That's why in the seventh canto, Narada Muni tells Yudhishthira Maharaj different ways to become Krishna conscious. And amazingly, he gives the example of Kamsa, who becomes Krishna conscious by anger. He's angry on Krishna. He gives the example of the gopis, who direct their feelings of love towards Krishna, and become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And he says, we, the normal devotees, we become Krishna conscious by performing sadhana, and through sadhana, that means spiritual activities, we direct our lives towards Krishna. And when Krishna is there, nothing stays the same. Just as much as when the candle is there, the thing doesn't remain the same. So I would like to give you now an example from our tradition. How to direct the emotions to Krishna. First of all, I want to bring my point and make it a little bit clear. Prabhupada writes about this, what we have just now explained. A living being cannot be vacant of desires. He is not a dead stone. He must be working, thinking, feeling and willing. But when he thinks, feels and wills materially, he becomes entangled. And conversely, when he thinks, feels and wills for the service of the Lord, he becomes gradually freed from all entanglement. And then Prabhupada writes in another place, unless one's mind is filled with thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, and a desire to serve Krishna, the mind will be filled with material activities. Yes. So here is something, how to direct feelings to Krishna. I have two examples. One is the chanting and one is in preaching. In chanting, call out like the child which calls out for the mother. I think we have some opportunity to study this in the children of Maritsa, these wonderful children. Sometimes the children call out for you. It happens, yeah. How do they say? Mama? Oh? Yes, mama. Mama, yes, mama. They call out in a very desperate way when there's some urgent problem which has happened. Like they can't find their a certain toy, for instance, and then they call out for the mother in great desperation. So, in the same way, one should call out for Krishna. One time there was a devotee who just couldn't control his mind. He came from one of these impossible family backgrounds, which we do not wish to describe in detail, and he just couldn't control his mind. He asked Prabhupada what to do. He felt he was going crazy. So Prabhupada told him, go on a field and shout Krishna's name, Hare Krishna, really loud. But maybe because some of us are so half-hearted, we never do such a thing. Sometimes you can do, but don't do it where everyone is around, you know. And so, oh Krishna! But no need to call so loud, maybe sometimes. Call out like a child which calls for the mother. Prabhupada said about this chanting that we must chant like a child. He said, actually, the Lord's holy name has powerful potency. But there is a quality to such utterances also. It all depends on the quality of feeling. Yes. You will see in 1 week It's time, is it? No, yes, a little more, a little less than a week. We all will, some of us will meet for the Ratha Yatra festival in Cologne. Do you know how Prabhupada called this festival? He called it a feeling festival. A festival of feeling. Why? Because it describes how the devotee brings Krishna back in his heart, in his life. It's a very feeling thing, a very emotional thing. Another thing which I find always very encouraging is in preaching. This happens to be the service of many of us. Prabhupada said about using feelings in preaching. He said, take the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. You should be a little and we used to do this in the old times. Like, I think no one feels entirely comfortable to play before to speak before hundreds of people he doesn't know. Some have said it's in America they made an index what people fear the most, and on the first place, I don't know if it's still now on the first place at that time was to speak in public, that they fear the most. In der Öffentlichkeit sprechen, schrecklich. Imagine, Frank, we will put you before in the Deutsche Bundestag. You speak on the television, you get some London fever, isn't it? Not so entirely simple. So therefore Prabhupada said, take the courage of an Englishman. I think the Englishman did everything in Bengal, that's why from where this proverb comes. And the heart of a Bengali mother. I find this always very good. You should preach with courage, but don't forget to preach with a heart that is a desire to really reach the people and to benefit the people. That's very important very important combination. So I want to now come to the I will not do the last point now. Because I feel it might get a little bit too long for you. I will now ask for questions. I have one other thing about. Yes, I have one other thing, but I hinted at it yesterday, so I won't. Yeah,
Two questions.
Go.
Thank you for this presentation about, I think it's a definitely ultimate solution for our problems. I have two questions. First is for the first part of today's presentation, where you were describing the positive emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And
or favorable emotions is better.
Yes, And I believe these are very favorable emotions. But if a person is not very stable or something, this sounds very close to some, you can develop a guilt complex or something. This is what we are always accused about. You should feel bad about what you did. So this seems to be very dangerous for someone who's not really fixed in himself. Mm-hmm. The second question is, the solution which you gave, I think it's very clear. The example with the candle is also very good. But basically it says, become Krishna consciousness and everything will be alright. So it seems very much like, again, completely neglecting the realm of emotions between people. And again, just said, it will just direct everything on Krishna, so it seems a little disappointing, I see. So this emotion of disappointment arose in me. I don't know how to deal with it. It's a human emotion.
Okay, so thank you very much for the question. It's a very justified question. The first part of the question was, I will summarize it for the tape hearing world, was a question regarding a guilt complex as a possible solution or a possible outcome of feeling bad about yourself. We hear that modern psychologists advise us, no, we should feel good about ourselves in all situations, otherwise it is very dangerous. It is a fact. People have seen this. And this second was, one could say, you have not really given something new. You have just given the impossible solution. Be Krishna conscious. This is the whole. Yes, I agree. If we are Krishna conscious, we have solved our material existential dilemma. So I would like to now offer some response. My point is a little subtle, and I feel my point is a little subtle, and I want to really request you to try to understand what I now will say. It's because it's subtle, it requires some endeavor to listen carefully. When a person goes through his life and begins to understand things don't turn out the way I wish them to turn out, or when a person goes through life and he sees I really committed mistakes in my life, then the point of reflection will start. Why don't the thing turn out the way I want them to turn out? And or if the person feels I have made a blunder, a mistake, why did I commit a blunder? This is a stage of reflection about it. Now, in this stage of reflection, you can go in many different directions, but to make it simple, I want to give two directions which are relevant for spiritual people. You can either think, I'm a good for nothing, I was born on the wrong day, I have no good looks, my intelligence is very bescheiden, very meager, and I'm not gifted, and you think, I. You could also go in another direction. And I want to now, and this I feel is the crux. Okay, you find out things don't go the way you wish them to go. You find out maybe you have made a terrible mistake. I'm giving some examples. And you begin to reflect, why is this so? Why didn't things turn out? Why did I make the mistake? You want to analyze it. Now, in this second way, and this is the way I'm suggesting in my presentation, you think, well, I'm just a poor programmed soul. But this is not the reality. There is Krishna who accepts me in his loving embrace, even though I committed mistakes, even though I have a very bad, I'm very incapable. There is Krishna who is the Lord of the most fallen. He is the Patita Pavana, and I'm in that category. I have a lot of hope. In other words, in my second reflection, Gadadha, by use of your intelligence, introduce the concept of Krishna in your thought, and that will make all the difference. When you are just self-centered, it's a fact. You will a person who is self-centered, you most probably would also tell him in the beginning, you know, oh, you're not so bad. Look, they're much. Oh, the problem is not so bad. You know, imagine you meet a self-centered person who's totally disappointed. You have to start maybe with simple things like to not arouse a guilt complex. Other people made totally blunders which, in comparison to it, your blunder is nothing. You know, you go. This is the human side which we don't want to forget, you know, which is called empathy. Oh, mach doch nichts, Mensch, der andere hat das viel schlimmer in Sand gesetzt, in Karen, oder, you know, and so on. But ultimately, Krishna is the solution. We say material world is darkness, and you can only, you know, start to see in the darkness when you bring light there. It's a black and white. When it comes to here, spiritual life is very clear. You somehow or other need to make contact with Krishna, and when there is Krishna there, it works. Now, as far as, see, knowing well that the conditioned souls are not entirely satisfied with a God-conscious solution because they have turned against God and will not easily take to the memory, to the Lord. The Lord, in His great mercy, has given some helps which prepare us for the God solution. One is the self-healing course, where we just smear some Ayurvedic Dhanvantari oil on our head. You know, don't forget this. This is very important. You know, rub it in a circle and feel how we become pacified and our vata goes down. Or the Lord, as Dattatreya, has given the path, or the Lord also as Kapila, has given the path of mystic yoga. You know, and in this way the Lord comes through a versteckten Weg, you know, a hidden way. For instance, we have understood sometimes the conditioned soul has traumatas. And these traumatas have accumulated in parts of the body. How so? Well, the explanation is very simple. When there is danger, the normal response is to run away to either fight the danger then the danger is on the floor in some ways, or to run away. And this is the normal situation in a human being. Now, when due to an extreme situation, this can not happen, and abuse is being done to a human being, this normal energy which goes out is blocked in some part of the body. I would like to give you an example. When I was a child, there was a big man, 19 years, about whom were rumors that he did child abuse. So one day, this big man, I remember his name, it was Johnny, took me to a place where there was garbage. And I was a very temperamental, trusting child. And he all of a sudden started to practice freie Körperkultur, free body culture. You know. So at that moment, I don't know, Krishna just gave me some impulse. I developed so much strength, I kicked him in the freie Körperkultur with full strength. And then I started to develop a speed and running which would make the Olympia winner envious. I was so fast. It was a huge energy which all of a sudden came over me. Kickboxing, I would have won any combat in kickboxing and Olympia running. I was extremely fit, you know. And so on, and now imagine a less fortunate situation. The Johnny would have done whatever was in his lusty mind, and the victim would have to tolerate it. He would feel awkward and feel like, you know, this energy is building up, but he would feel like running away, but it's not possible due to whatever. We don't want to go into the detail of the example. So this is called a trauma which stays with you for a long time, and the energy of it is stored in the body. Now, what to do? In modern psychology, you address this and you go deeper. Did something happen to you when you were 5 years old? And so on and so forth, and so on. In the yoga treatment of Kapila and so on, what we do is the deep low stretch. what it means is, you do some exercise and you go into the exercise like this, and then after some time something starts to pain somewhere. Das kannst du nachvollziehen, Frank, ne? And then the normal response is, oh, okay, another exercise, please. This is not working for me. But here, you keep on breathing into this, and you by breathing and chanting mantras, you solve the blockade which is there, the stored thing, and afterwards you feel, I'm free from the problem. Now, don't believe me. Come in January to the Atmananda Yoga Teacher Training, and you will see it's amazing. Now, then, as you know, one of my hobbies is to study psychology. It's a total different approach to Western psychology, but it seems to work. There are many psychological therapists who recommend this treatment. So this is a treatment ultimately given by God, who is so kind that even though we have turned against him and do not want him and do not love him, he gives, like the mother, okay, you don't want my mare, you don't want to come to the mother and drink the milk, then she gives it in a bottle and gives it to the sister, and the sister gives it, here's some milk, we bought it on the market. Hare Krishna. This is my answer. I realize it's a God conscious answer, but I'm a God conscious man. This is in other words, yes, if we don't want to turn to God, it is said when the conditioned soul leaves Krishna, he becomes Krishna Bahi Mukha. He turns his face away and he wants to do everything on his own. That is the situation. Yeah. You want to do everything on your own, and then you're on your own. And you have to try other things which might prepare you for this. I would like to give an example of this. In Serbia, I found a very, very God-conscious therapeut about my back pain. And he helped me, he massaged me, he did so many things. But then, he said, your problem could also be healed if you just turn towards God. I said, his name is a very nice man, Lazi is his name. He is really the top expert of the country, I heard, for such back problems which I had in the past. And he said, Lazi, I'm turning every morning for 2 hours to God. Are you chanting 2 hours? He said, no, I don't mean this. I know what you do. But what I mean is you should turn to God and say, please help me cure my back. I said, but Lazi, in our philosophy, we don't do this. And Lazi said, yes, and that's why you will not be healed. He's, in other words, also a faith healer. Mm. And he says, it only works if someone has faith. Lazi, this is too much what you are doing to me. And I said, I will think about it. And then I thought about it. Next morning he came, so should we make a faith healing now? He said, Lazi, I have not yet reached the conclusion of my thoughts. Give me your massage, please. Then he continued to ask. Then he didn't ask me any longer because he doesn't want to push anyone. And I must tell you, at the end I said to him, let's do your faith healing, please, but please allow me to pray in my way to God. That is, that my Lord, I want to serve you, and with this back problem I can't serve you, please help me to restore my body for service to you. That is how I felt comfortable in praying, and we did it. And now I don't want to be so sensationalist. At least now I feel all right. But there were also other factors maybe in it. At this moment I have no pain sitting here, which is a great achievement for me. It was so bad in Serbia. Devotees said to carry me because the bag was out of function and so on. So maybe it worked. Maybe also the Paka yoga worked. You know, there was a mixture of everything, which I feel also has been given to me by Krishna. You know, So this is my answer to your question, Gadara. I cannot give a better answer. Please be satisfied with this answer. So this is my answer. Vidamuna?
This is not a question, but it describes situations, so maybe you could say something to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I have to look a little at the clock, so this will be the last question I see, because we are already 25 to 10. Yes.
Like persons who turn to spiritual practice in a very young age, and like they were living quite a life before, not knowing how to be simple.
Yeah. To experience life. It's a very good question. So Yamuna, so the question is, when a person turns to spiritual life, very often emotion comes that I don't want this. Maybe the sattvic life doesn't suit me. This type of life, I want to experience life, go through it, you know, and make my own experiences. I personally believe there is some value in this. The value in this is that when you make an experience, this is usually the way you learn. This is called in the Upanishadic way to learn. You hear first, you reflect about it. It's called manaha. And then nididhyasan means you practice what you have heard and make an experience, and then you know. So this is usually a way to learn. It's a bona fide way to learn, and I believe that sometimes we have this. What I would like to answer to you is my this other point. I would like to first of all bring to your attention that emotions need to be controlled. Otherwise, you don't get anywhere. Prabhupada very often, that doesn't mean they need to be repressed. Prabhupada gave the example of a young brother who had an older sick brother, and the sick brother came to him, "Please bring me some prakoras." This brother had, I believe, what is it? Jaundice. Then you shouldn't eat the prakoras. And the younger brother said, "But mommy has said you shouldn't eat the prakoras." But the older brother said, "Please, I'm starving. Don't you see I'm starving? Go to the shop, here some rupees, and bring prakoras." So the young brother felt compassionate. Yes, who can live without prakoras? It is true. It is true. And he ran to the prakora wala and brought these heavy ghee prakoras. The older brother ate them, and he almost died afterwards. So the mother went, mommy came and said, "Who gave him prakoras?" The older brother said, not me, I didn't get it. He pointed at the younger brother. The mother was so angry, he took the young brother and went like, "You're killing my son. You're killing your older brother." So sometimes emotions, like in this case of the younger brother, would have to be controlled or directed in another way. So I always take great hope that to control emotions, not to suppress emotions, is not right, but you have to direct them. Here is a verse for you, Yamuna. An expert horseman desiring to tame a headstrong horse first lets the horse have his way for a moment, and then, pulling the reins, gradually places the horse on the desired path. Similarly, the supreme yoga process is that by which one carefully observes the movements and desires of the mind and gradually porak paporak, or we might say porak paporak. Yeah, no, korak pakorak, yeah, or so. And step by step, and gradually brings them under full control. So let them, it's explained, let the mind reveal its materialistic propensities, and then by superior intelligence, use it in some ways. You know, let the horse run a little free, don't give it ultimate freedom, but let it run and let it make experiences. And I have given some examples. One may relax, for instance. One may joke. You can go swimming with the devotees, or alone if you need. You can ride something. Riding is a great way, Yamuna, to make experiences. It really, if you go through Kali Komt, you know, I think the ride went through the whole scenario for us, isn't it? And fought with the armies and killed the Aurangzeb and so on. Riding is. You can dance, Yamuna. You are a young girl. You can dance, maybe learn some nice steps from Kalakanta, some simple ones, not the most complicated ones. You can chant, you can clean, you can sing, you can walk or play music. I think Nityananda Pran, sometimes you go to play music and play it all out. You can eat nice Mahaprasad, Yamuna. But be careful not to perform this excessively, and so on. I think what's wrong, you know, let us now not be so much captured in our... I agree, in the Hare Krishna movement we were too restrictive. Wir waren ein bisschen zu strenge. But here you can do anything. You can climb like a wild girl on the rocky mountains of the Sachsener Schweiz. You know, you can go on a bicycle. You can do interesting things. You know, astrology, vastu, yoga. Soon you can become a yoga teacher. You know, that's very wild. You know, to do the deep lows. We do power yoga and Kundalini yoga. Kundalini is a very intense form of yoga. Everything is possible soon in the Veda Academy. You can make an adventure, go to India. I think what people... The only reason which someone can give me is, okay, I can't make a sinful adventure. That's the only thing which, yes, is not so good, at least in our philosophy. You can do what you want. And devotees do this, but I mean, this is where we usually say, please, it's not necessary to hurt yourself and hurt others. This is tamagun. This is foolish. Maybe we can't use what Sigmund Freud called the Todestrieb, you know, the desire to hurt yourself. That is not good to be used in spiritual life. And because of our unfortunate culture, we see a lot of examples of the Todes Trieb, you know. Maybe that's what we don't do. But everything else, I mean, I don't want to say everything else we do. No, that's also not wrong. I can't see the problem. The problem is we are not enough God conscious and we want to turn away from Krishna secretly. Secretly. We have the God complex. This is at least how Prabhupada said. Hare Krishna. I hope I didn't snuff out you. I hope I didn't talk too strongly, Yamunaji. It's alright. Good. Yes. Let us explore. The reason why we are so starved sometimes is our culture is not intact. And that we have to do when we have now talked also. The culture is very important in our case. Right? So, and maybe we will have a dedicated culture. Dedicated some music which we can, you know, there are two ways of putting a cultural setting around you. One is you go to a Sattvic culture, but maybe we want to use parts of the Western culture and dedicate them in Krishna's service. That may be an interesting avenue to explore. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your questions. I know, I hope I can, you will discuss this now amongst yourself. I know that, yes, it's always Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But you are hearing a Krishna conscious speaker. He is convinced of this. I'm at work, at least for me. I feel quite happy and energetic in life, and I don't feel psychologically crippled. Maybe I'm a little eccentric, but that I brought into the movement from before. That did not develop in the movement. I can't. I can't blame the process for that. We all have a certain nature. Krishna, Krishna. And don't forget what I said. There are some Vedic ways to deal with emotions, and I'm now very interested in this subject. I will first make contact to one professor who has worked on this subject. He has written, he has lectured on Rupa Goswami. He's even a friend to mine. I think he will give it to me. It's called The Universe of Feeling. He has lectured like this on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Very amazing work he has done. And then I will go into Indian psychology according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I have three big books on this. Study a little, and maybe I can give you more of the indirect way next time I speak. Don't forget there is an indirect way. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Tai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.